Zdaf is Daf Yudches. So we got to two lines down from Yudches Amar Aleph here. We're in the middle of a discussion about a Goy being Yorish is Aviv. We saw earlier that a Goy is Yorish is Aviv, and the source we brought before was the Chishev Im Konehu. That when it comes to a Goy owning a Eved Ivri, and you're trying to acquire that Eved Ivri back, you calculate with him, you figure out how much is left over, you pay the Goy back. But the Gemara is Medayik, V'chishev im koneh v'lo im yorsha koneh. They're Medayik only with the actual owner, but not from the yorish. If he dies, they are not yorish from the father. That implies, so that's only when it comes to that case. But in general, that would indicate that there is yorusha. Only when it comes to Eved Ivri is an yorusha, but in general that there is yorusha. So now the Gemara says two lines down, Rav Chiya bar Abin Amar B'Yochanan, Oved Kochavim Yorish is Aviv, Davar Torah. He also agrees that Midiraisa Goy is Yorish's father. Dichsiv ki Yerusha le'Esav Nasati is Har Seir. Pasuk says, as a Yerusha gave to Esav, the Har Seir, that was his Yerusha. So we see Esav was of course a Goy. And he got a Yerusha. Gemara says, Dilma Yisrael Mumar Shaini. He wasn't a Goy, he was a Jew. His father was Jewish, he was Jewish. He just went off the Derech, he was a Mumar. So a Jew who's a Mumar still is a Jew and gets Yerusha. There is no raya there that a Goy gets Yerusha. Elami Hacha. From the following pasuk it says, Ki Livnei Lot Nasati Es Ar Yerusha. So Livnei Lot was certainly a Goy. He came, Avram only converted or became Jewish afterwards, after Lot was already born, of course. So he was certainly a Goy, and there's Yerusha, the pasuk says. So that's the source that there is Yerusha Midavar Torah, Davar Torah. Where it says, Rabbi Chiya Rab, in my time, Lama Kerava. Why did Bechia use this pasuk of Lot and not use Rava's drasha earlier of Chishavim Kaneu? So Gemara says, because Miksiv Chashavim Chishavim Kaneu v'lo am im Yorshi Kaneu? The pasuk doesn't say Dafkim Kaneu, but not the Yorshi the Kaneu. That was a diuk. So it wasn't in the first pasuk. At least Bechia's pasuk was very, very explicit that Bnei Lot get Yerusha. It's very, very clear there. Again, Rava's drasha was only based on a drasha. It wasn't before, so therefore he preferred his pasuk. What about Rava? Rava, who learned the source of Davar Torah, Goy is Yorsh, as Aviv Davar Torah, he learns it from Chishavim Kaneu. My time alo Amar Krav Chiyah Bar Avin. Why doesn't he use the other pasuk of Bnei Lo Nasati is Ar Yerusha? That's a very clear pasuk that there's Yerusha. So he explains, Mishum Kvodo Da Avram Shaini. Perhaps Lo only was Yorish because he was a relative of Avram. Out of kavod, out of respect for Avram Avinu, we wanted to give Lot a certain Yerusha. That doesn't mean in general that we say across the board all Goyim are getting Yerusha. So that's why he preferred his pasuk of Chishev Im Koneu. So that's the machlokus, which source we use for the concept of Ovid Kochavim Yorish is Aviv Davar Torah. Gemara now goes into the discussions of the differences between Am Ivriyas and Eved Ivri. Taner Rabbanim. Yesh be'ivri she'en be'ivriya. Yesh be'ivriya she'en be'ivri. There's certain things that are unique to Ivriya and certain things that are unique to Ivri. What are they? Yesh be'ivri in Eved Ivri shehu yote b'shanim. After 6 years he goes free. U'b'yovel misas adom. Those are the three ways that a Eved Ivri goes free. Ma'ashenkein be'ivriya. An Ivriya doesn't go free by any of those means. She doesn't go free with Shanim. She doesn't go free with Yovel. She doesn't go free with Mises Adon. We'll see, the Gemara is going to ask the question later. Of course she does. But at this stage, she doesn't go free with those things. V'yesh be'ivriya sheharei ivriya yote b'simanim. That in Ivriya, she goes free when she is of age, as opposed to an Ivriya does not. Also, an Ivriya eino nimkeres v'nishe, she cannot be sold twice. Let's say she's sold once when she's a katana. And she goes free for one of the reasons, let's say Yovel, or whatever, we don't know Yovel works right here, but whatever way she gets to go free when she's a katana, the father cannot resell her a second time. And mefadin osa bal karcha, you're also able to be poda the Am Ivriya from her avdus against his will, the will of the Adam. Ma'ashen kim b'ivri, an Ivri can be sold twice, an Eved Ivri does not go out with Simanim, and the Eved Ivri cannot be redeemed, bal karcho shel adam. So Gemara is now going to go through each line one by one. Amar ma'ar, yesh b'ivri, shein b'ivriya. So Ivri is able to go free through Shanim, through Yovel, and through Mises Adon. However, Ivriya cannot. Right? So an Ivriya can't go out, can't go free through those means. Rimini, our Mishnah tells us, Yiseir Alav Am Ivriya Shekona Atma B'Simanim. The Mishnah told us that same rules that Ivriya works, and Am Ivriya gets those same ways of being free as well, in addition to Simanim. So she goes free through Shanim, and she goes free through Yovel. So how could our Brisa say she doesn't go free through those means? Rav Sheshi explains, Kigon Sheyada. Now, in general, regular Am Ivriya if the years are up, if Yovel comes, if there's Mises Adam, she goes free. We're talking about the Brice above. Let's say Yud was performed. Yud is where the Amivir is sold by the father into the possession of an Adam. And the Adam or the Adam's son decides to perform Kedushin, which is called Yud for Adam Ivriya. Now they're married. Now that she's married, then she doesn't go free through Shanim. If the years expire, she doesn't go free. She's married. And if it's Yovel comes, she doesn't go free. She's considered a full-fledged wife now. That's why the Brice above says they don't apply to an Adam Ivriya. Or it says Pshita, of course, Yad the Pshita. If Yid was performed, of course she can't go free. She's now a wife. Of course she can't go free with those. Gemara says, Gita Ba, you require a get. You can't really go free through Shanim or Yovel. So Gemara says, Mao the same, what would you have thought? Lo lipat le hilchasamina. Maybe you would think, since she became a wife through the means of Am Ivriya, she started off by being Am Ivriya, and then Yid was performed. Maybe she's still going to retain the initial status of being Am Ivriya. And even though she's a wife now, maybe she could still go free like a regular Am Ivriya through Shanim, through Yovel, through Misa Adam. Kamash Malan, no. One Yid is performed, she has a completely different status. She's no longer considered an Am Ivriya. She's a full-fledged wife, and only through get doesn't work. So, Ihachi, that's the case. If we're talking about a case of Yud above, the Brisa says that Am Ivriya is unique, that she goes free through Simanim. But now that she's married, and let's say she's a Katana, and then she matures and she has Simanim, she's not going to go free. She's married. She needs to get. So, Gemara says the way you read the end of that Brisa is, Hachi Kamar. Im lo yada, but if she doesn't perform Yud, Yotze af b'simanim, she's able to go out through Simanim, Mashenkein b'Ivri, who could never go out through Simanim. Gemara now says, the Brisa told us above, Ve'eno nimkeres v'nishnes. Am Ivriya cannot be sold and then yet sold the second time. Once she sold once, that's it. Michlal de Eved Ivri nimcha v'nishna. Does that indicate that an Eved Ivri can be sold multiple times? V'hatani, doesn't the Brisa tell us, quoting in the Pasuk, the Gnevaso, the Pasuk told us that this is referring to a Bab Machteres. The Pasuk on the side says, Im zarcha shemesh alav damim lo. So the case is, let's say someone's tunneling under your house, and you're in the middle of the house, suddenly someone starts coming from below your ground and starts digging up into your house. So what are you supposed to do? He's coming to steal from you. So exactly, you're allowed to kill him, because the understanding of the Gemara and Sanhedrin tells us that he's coming to steal money. And he's thinking in his mind, if the Baal Bais is going to try to stop me, I'm going to kill him. So now you're in danger. So you're allowed to kill the guy as he's digging from below your ground. You could kill him before he gets to you. But then the Gemara says, based on this pasuk, if it's so clear to you that he's not coming to kill you, which is, the Gemara gives the example of a father who's coming to his own son's house. The father would never kill his own son. He's so much rachmanis and love for him, even though he's stealing from the son, he would never kill you. So then you're not allowed to kill that father, because in Zar Hashemesh it's so clear, like the son, he's not coming to kill you. So the Gemara, the pasuk says, I'm reading the pasuk again, im Zar Hashemesh alav damim lo. If it's so clear to you that he has value, he has blood, he has life, you can't kill him. Shalem shalem, you have to pay the money, he pays the money to you. Im ein lo, if he has no money, v'nimkar b'gnevasa, then he's sold for what he owes. So whatever he stole from you, he can't pay back, you sell him. So the Gemara now makes a diak. What do we learn from the word b'gnevasa? The Gemara says, b'gnevasa v'lo b'kfeilo. He has to work for what he stole, the actual amount, but not for the double. The kefil that a ganav would normally have to pay, that kefil, he doesn't have to work to pay off that kefil. Further, the Gemara says, another drasha, b'gnevasa v'lo b'zamo. Now, a case of gneva as opposed to Edom Zomim. Let's say two Edom testified that Reuven stole, and Reuven didn't actually steal. It turned out they were Edom Zomim. So now they owe money. So that's not considered Gneva, that's considered Edom Zomim. So let's say the Edom Zomim cannot pay off whatever they almost caused the guy to lose. That also doesn't cause him to get sold. It's only through Gneva, not through Zomim. And finally, B'Gnevaso, Kevin Shinimchar Pamachas, Shuv Yatat Rasha Lemochro. Gnevaso sounds like his one stealing. Only one offense, you get sold, but if there's a second offense, you cannot get sold a second time. So our Brice above says that only Nam Ivriya can be sold a second time. But Eved Ivri can be sold a second time. But this Brisa says to Joshua that your person's only sold once, not twice.
What happens if he steals again?
So right at this stage, the Gemara will answer that in a second. But right now, it sounds like if you steal twice, you don't get sold. One time, the guy's addicted to stealing. Too bad. He doesn't. That's the rule. It's a gzeiras hakasev. But if also one offense, you get sold. But a second offense, he doesn't get sold again. What happened? I don't know. So Gemara says, you know what the answer is. Amar Rava, lo kasher kam b'gneva achas kam b'shei gnevos. What you just said. With one stealing, so he only gets sold once. Let's say he can't pay off that amount, so he has to figure out how to come up with the rest of the money, but he's only allowed to be sold for one time per gneva. If there's a second offense, ein hachanami, he would be sold for each additional offense. Each time there's a new gneva, you get sold a second time. Mar says, how could that be true? Amar le abaye b'gnevaso tuva mashma. It implies multiple. What does Rashi say here? Rashi says, tuva mashma, im amar al shteyan b'din echad, kulan krinam ba b'gnevaso. K'dichsev b'hema rabba hadaga shebiyor. Sounds like, if a person is sold one time on many stealings, that's considered one stealing. So if a guy stole multiple times from one individual, and all the times they gathered together, this clean lady was stealing from you many times throughout, and you're taking them to court for all those different things that she stole, that's considered one offense. You're only able to be sold one time. Even though there are multiple times she stole, that's considered lumped together as one. You can't be sold two different times. So the Gemara says, no, the difference is Ela Amar Bai Lo Kasha Kam Be Adam Echad Kam Be Shnei B'nei Adam.
I thought it was asking the opposite.
Yeah?
Which is that B'gnevaso implies that you could even be sold multiple times for one stealing.
Yeah, let's see.
If you're not working off in time.
I think he's saying like what I'm saying. I think. What is it saying in the article? Did it say anything there?
To Rova, he should be sold. Benimkar Begnevoso means connotes that for each individual act of theft, the thief can be sold one time. Therefore, the thief could be sold twice for two acts of theft. Even if he stood trial for both these acts at the same time. That's right.
So it sounds like what you're saying, Adam. That you can be sold.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Gemara ends up answering, the difference is, lokashia kan ba'adam echad kan b'shnei b'nei adam. Depends who he's stealing from. So Rashi, let's read through the Rashi, ela kan ba'adam echad. Rashi says, shamed b'din b'bas achas, he goes to Bezdin at one time, eino nimkar v'nisha filo b'gnevas harbe. If he goes one time to Bezdin, he's not sold and then resold, even on many accounts, who have d'um y'dachas akasif hotziyav lashin yochid. If he's stealing from two different people, he's brought to court two different times, then he is sold each individual time. So that's the difference. When it's one person, one bringing to Bezdin, then he can only be sold one time. But he's brought multiple times to Bezdin, in Echanami he can be sold multiple times. So that's what it's referring to. Gemara now says, Taner Rabbanan, Gnevo, I really should be, if I, Gunov or something. What does the gear say on the side here? Ganvaso. If he steals elef, let's say the ganav steals $1,000. Vishava chamesh meos, he's only worth 500 though. When he's sold, he's not worth what he stole. Nimkar v'chosev nimkar. He sold, he works $500 worth, and then he has to be sold a second time to pay off the remaining $500 to equal $1,000 that he owes. Let's say ganva chamesh meos. Let's say he steals $500 worth. The shava elephant, he's worth $1,000. He's much more he's more valuable than the thing that he stole. Eino nimkar klal. He is not sold at all. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Eliezer Omer im haya gnevo keneged memkaro nimkar. If he's worth that which he sold, it's equal 1,000 to 1,000 or 500 to 500. That's the only time you're sold. However, vim lav eino nimkar. But if he's not, even if he's worth half it, where he can be sold two times, you still don't sell him two times. The only time a person ever gets sold into slavery because of something he stole, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is if he's exactly worth what he stole, which is a very unlikely circumstance. So what's the machlokas here? Amar Rava. Rava explains, Bahazachani, Rabbi Eliezer Rabban, and in this way, Rabbi Eliezer was able to defeat Rabbanan in this debate. Demaishna Gnevo, Chamesh Meos, Veshav Elef. Why do we say, if he stole 500 and he's worth 1,000, do we say, de'ein nimkar, he's not sold? Everyone agrees to that, even the Tanakhama. De'nimkar kulo amarachmana, v'lochetzio. he has to be sold entirely. If he can't be sold as half, only half of him. Again, he owes $500 and he's worth $1,000. We can't sell an eved for just half his worth. So therefore, that's not a possibility. Everybody agrees you cannot sell an eved who's so valuable. So along the same line, says Rabbi Eliezer, Hachanami, Nimkar b'gnevaso, Amar Rachmanav, v'lo Nimkar b'chatzi gnevaso. You're sold for your full amount, not for your half your amount. You can't be sold if he owes $1,000 and he's worth $500. So you can't be sold for the first 6 years to pay off half your debt, and then another 6 years for your other half. It has to be an entire sale. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer paskins, the gneva and the value, the worth of the eved have to be equal. If it's not, then you don't get sold. So it sounds like obviously very limiting, and unlikely to ever have a case of selling someone into slavery because he can't pay off his gneva. Gemara now says, Mefad nosal bal karcha. We came to the Am Ivir, we said, you're able to redeem her against his will. So, Sava Rava, Lememar, bal karcha lo dadam. So the way Rava initially understood this brisa was, you could redeem her against the will of the Adam. So even though if she has money, then certainly you're able to redeem her. That's not bal karcha. That's willingly. He's willing to accept the money and sell her. That's not balkarcha. Balkarcha means here, so Abai says, what do you mean? Against the will of the Adon? Amalei Abai, my knee. What does that mean against the will of the Adon? The kasri lei shtara adame. You give the Adon, here's an IOU. I owe you $500. I'll pay it back to you whenever I get the money. So Amai, naket marganisa biyade. Why does that work? He's holding on to something precious in his hands. He's holding on to an amivri, or something of worth. You have lei chaspa, you give a piece of paper that's worth nothing. It's not fair to him. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't work like that. So it can't be where you're redeeming the Am Ivira against the will of the Adon. That's not fair. Ella must be, Ella Marabai, Abai says, Bal Karchel De'av, against the will of the father. The father doesn't want to redeem her. Mishum Pagam Mishpacha. Because of Pagam Mishpacha, it's terrible for her, it's terrible for the family to have someone sold into slavery. The mishpacha is able to put the pressure on and force the father, if he has the money, to redeem her. That's what's allowed to be done. You could force the father, if he has the money, to redeem her against the father's will. Ihachi, that's the case. Eved Ivri Nami, Nach Pinu Levnei Mishpacha Mishum Pega Mishpacha. So if that's the case, an Eved Ivri should be the same thing. We should be allowed to force the family members of the Eved Ivri, the father or whoever's involved, to redeem that person from Eved Ivri. It's a tremendous boost for the family to have a relative in slavery. So why don't we force it when it comes to Eved Ivri, and why only by Nam Ivri? Gemara says the reason why is because Hadir Azil Mazbin Nafshe. The Eved Ivri himself is going to go ahead and sell himself again. He wants to be sold into slavery, whatever it is. He likes to be a slave. So you're going to redeem him. You pay the master the $1,000 that's owed to him. And then he goes ahead and sells himself a second time. And you can't control him you can't protect him from ever selling himself over again. So nothing will be accomplished by redeeming him back. He'll just go ahead and sell himself over and over again. So Gemara says, if that's the case, Hachanami, by the Am Ivri as well. Hadir Azil Mazbin Lay. So the father is going to go ahead and sell his daughter a second time. So just because you redeem her this time doesn't mean you're going to prevent him from selling her a second time. So you should never be able to redeem against the will of the father. The Gemara says, no, that won't be a concern. When it comes to the Am Ivriya, Hokatani Eino Nimkeres Venishnes. There's a klal, a halacha, we'll see in a second in the Brisa, that an Am Ivriya may not be sold a second time. Once she's sold once and she goes free, she can never be sold a second time. So you redeem her against the will of the father. You give the collect the funds, you pay off the Adon, she's free, and nothing the father could do about it anymore. This Mechir won't take effect a second time. And who holds that way, that you cannot sell an Am Ivriya a second time? Umani, who is that? Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds you cannot sell Am Ivriya twice. The Tanya Bocher Adam Esbita Lishus Vishona. A person could sell his daughter over, really give a daughter over to get married, and he could give it over a second time. So the halacha is that a girl at the age of a katana can be sold by the given over to marriage by the father. Let's say only kedushin took place, but not nisun. Only kedushin, she was engaged, and from kedushin she was either divorced or she was widowed. She goes back to the father's rishus, and if she's still a katana, the father could remarry her off a second time, and that could happen a third and fourth time, as long as she's still a katana, and as long as she never got married. There's only kedushin. But once she was married, the halacha is, the Mishnah tells him, Gidin, once she's married, even though she's a katana, unless she becomes widowed or divorced, she does not go back to the rishus of the father and cannot be remarried. Only if it was only kedushin and she's still a katana. So you can repeat ishus. Then the Braisa says, you could also give her off l'shvachos v'shona. You could also sell her to Bina Mehivya and repeat it again. If she goes free and she's still a katana, you could sell her a second time. But let's say she goes free because of Simanim, which means now says she's a Nara, then she cannot be sold the second time because the Nara is too old to be sold. But if she's a katana, and let's say Yovel comes when she's 9, she goes back to the Rishus of the father, she's allowed to he's allowed to resell her. But the Brisa continues, the Tanakhama says, also, Li'ishus Acher Shifchos. Let's say he sells her to be a Shifcha, and then she goes free, and she's still a katana, he could also marry her, you could have Ishus after Shifchos. Aval, the one limitation according to the Tanakhama that doesn't work is, Lo L'Shifchos Acher Ishus. Let's say he married her off when she's a katana. And she never got married, but just kedushin was performed. And then she gets widowed or divorced. And now she goes back to the rishus of the father as a katana. Then you cannot sell her as an am ivrio. Shvachos cannot be after ishus. That's how Tanakhama paskins. But Tanakhama says you can sell her multiple times if she's still a katana. Comes along Rabbi Shimon and Omer. This is why we need this. Kishem shein adam mocheres bito l'shifchos acher ishus. Just like you cannot sell her to be an am ivrio after she already been married once before. Kach. So too, you cannot sell her to be a shivcha after she's already been a shivcha once before. So Rabbi Shimon is the one who holds that eino nimkeres v'nishnes, you cannot sell her two times. So therefore, if the family were to redeem her from being amivria, we're not concerned that the father will resell her because he can't resell her according to Rabbi Shimon. It's aser. And the Gemara says the last line of the Amud here, ubeplux dehani tanai. This machlokes is exactly like the machlokes we have tonight as follows. The tani, the Bryce quotes a pasuk that appears in Parsha Mishpatim. It says, "Bibigdoba." What do you mean, "Bibigdoba"? So, "Bigdoba." Rashi, the Gemara rather says, "Going to Amud Beis now." Kevan sheperish taliso aleha. Once you spread the talis above her, this is the first meaning. Begging means to beg a mamish a piece of clothing, which means ishus. You spread the chuppah above her. Shuv ein rashi lemochra. Divi Rebbe Kiva. Once you spread that talis above her, once she's been married, you cannot sell her anymore, implying. If she wasn't married, if she was only sold as an Am Ivira, then you can resell her as an Am Ivira, according to Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he argues and says no. The big ba doesn't mean beged. It means, I think they say what, rebellion? Let's see how they explain this. Kevin shebugged ba, shuv ein rashai lemocha. Once she was bugged, once she was independent, what do they say, how do they say this means? How do they define big ba here? Rebel, right? They say anything for Rebbe Elazar in English?
Since the father has betrayed her.
Right, betrayed her. Once he betrayed her, means sold her, got rid of her, whether it be marriage or whether it be to be a shivcha, am ivria, shuv ein rashai lemochra. So according to Rebbe Eliezer, once she's been betrayed, meaning she's been sold as a shivcha, you cannot ever resell her. Rebbe Kiva says only after marriage you can sell her, but implying after a sale, am ivria, she can be an am ivria a second time. Rebbe Elazar argues that no, you can never resell her. So this machlokas of reselling her as an Am Ivria two times is the same exact machlokas here between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer. And the Gemara says, what's the machlokas? What's the basis of the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer? B'maika mythically, Rabbi Elazar savar yesh aim l'mesores, Rabbi Kiva savar yesh aim l'mikra. So the machlokas is based on the way it's written or the way it's read. So Rabbi Elazar says, based on aim l'mesores, the way it's written down, and the pasuk's written as bivig. Let's see how the pasuk says it here. Right, the way it's let's see the bivigdo. One second, Rashi says. You see Rashi l'mesoras. Rashi says, I don't know, 25 lines down or so. Bivigdo ksiv v'lo bivigdo. It doesn't say yud. Ein havaris chirik b'lo yud. It doesn't say bivigdo. If there's no yud there, you would read it bibegdo or something. Unakuda shatachas a bit. What? Bogdil,
maybe.
Bogdil, yeah? No, you need a vav for that, I think. Bagda or something. If there's no yud, just reading it without nakudos, you would read it as bag or beg or something. Unakuda shatachas a bit, makum yud, mishameshes. Afal mishana.
Talking about a chirik now, right?
So, yeah. So there's no yud there, though. So you wouldn't read it as a chirik because there's no yud, just a simple reading without nakudos. The way it's written, hayalo likros chataf kamatz bebigdo bebogdo should be really bebogdo lashem begida k'mo she'ata kore bishamo es divrei ha'ala. So the way, again, let's connect this to everything. The way Rabbi Eliezer is reading this, he says it's really bibagad. The way the Mesorah is, the way it's written is the Mesorah, not how you read it, but the way it's written, you read the, look at the pasuk inside the Chumash without any nekudos, it's bibagad. Bagad means to betray. That's how he understands this. But Rabbi Kiva says, no, you read it as bibigdo, and bibigdo implies beggis. It's a to clothe her, to cover her. That's why he says that it refers to getting her married. And finishing off the line here, and Rabbi Shimon Tzavar Yesh Eim Lemikra Ul Mesoros. He holds that both the way you read it and the way it's written. So therefore, he so holds both after she's been married once before, and after she's been sold, after there's been bagad, after there's been betrayal being sold, and after there's been bebigad, after there's been bebeged that she's been married, both those will prevent her ever from being sold a second time.
So it's not cleanly lined up.
Exactly.
It's
lined up in that they machlok is whether they can be sold after initial sale, but in terms of getting the bottom line shita, there's a three way machlokas.
And Rabbi Kiva, the Tanakhama, before someone like Rabbi Kiva, the Tanakhama said you can't sell after Ishus, but you can sell after Shifchas. It's only like Rabbi Kiva who says
correct. Talents. Exactly. Okay, two dots now. The Gemara says, "Bai Rabba Baravuru." He asks the question: Yud Nisun Osa or Erusin Osa? We've been talking about Yud. We haven't really discussed it too much, though. This is the place to discuss Yud. The Gemara asks the question: what is the nature of Yud? Is Yud there to create Nisun and full-fledged marriage, or simply Erusin? It's the first stage of marriage, but there's no Nisun yet. Nafkamina the Yorsha Ulatamila Ulhafir Nidareo. What's the Nafkamina? There's a lot of Nafkaminas. One is, if she were to die, is he going to be Yorisher? He's only Yorisher if there's Nisun. If she dies and he's a Kohen, does he have to be Metameher? If it's a wife, he has to. It's only in a Arusa, he's not allowed to. And can he be made for Nadarim? So also, if she's Nisun, yes. If it's only an Erisin, then he can only do this with the father of her, if she's a Nara. So the Gemara says, Tashma. So my, what's the halacha? Tashma. Bibigdo ba. So once he spread the clothing over her, he already married his daughter off, she's no longer allowed to be sold. So zvuna hu de lo mazrin la, he cannot sell her anymore, but ha yud miadla, but he's allowed to do yud with her. What does that mean? Vi amris nesun osa, so if we say yud creates nesun, kevin de nises shuv ein la vir rishas ba. So if there's marriage, the klal in general is, if the father once married her off, even though she's a katana, and she becomes divorced or widowed, he never has any control over her. So the fact here, the fact that we're suggesting that he could perform yud here, tells us that...
full-fledged condition.
Wait a second here. What we're saying here, yud, we're talking about the previous, how she initially got married. We're saying... Big Dabba means Nisuin. Right, okay, let's read the line. Elav Shmamina Erishin Osa. It can only do Erishin. I don't understand how that question works, though. Let's look at Rashi.
Can't marry her off again.
I guess from what you can't do again, we're applying what you did originally.
That's what you have to say, right? Right. That's what you have to say. The fact that what you're allowed to do now, it must be what was initially done. Because again, if we understand, we're assuming it's a case must be of yud. The big doba means not a regular kedushin, it means that a yud was done. So if yud was done, if yud really means that nisun was done initially, so the father has no rights to marry her off her second time, once she's been married once before. So therefore it must be that yud really means erisin. And what took place in the beginning was only an erisin, yud is only erisin, and if she goes back to the shus of the father is able to have her engaged to somebody else. So then comes along Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Hacha B'Kedushin D'Alma Kai. No, that's what we initially thought. It's not referring to that the initial stage was through Yud. The initial stage, when we say B'Big Dova, that we said Kevin Shepirish Talis Aleh, that they spread the talis above, there was a chuppah, that's not referring to a chuppah of Yud. That's talking about in general, if there was Kedushin once before, he once engaged her to some man, not in the context of Yud at all. Then we say, Hachi Kamar, Kevin Shemasa via Lamishin is Chai Bishera, Ksusavonasa, Shuv Ein Yachal Mochra. Once he had given her over to some person, a man, nothing to do with Amivir at all, just to another man, that he's responsible to buy her clothing and all the other responsibilities, then he's no longer allowed to ever sell her after that point. And this is not a riot at all, doesn't weigh in at all, to the question of whether or not Yud is Erisin or Nisun. Mar brings another riot. Tashma Ein Mochra the Krovim. You're not allowed to sell her. An Amivir cannot be sold to a relative of hers. Why? Bishum Rabbi Eliezer Amru Mocha LeKrovim. He says you're allowed to sell her to relatives. Vishavin, they both agree. Shemocha Almana LeKohen Gadol. You're allowed to sell an Almana. Can be owned by Kohen Gadol. You could sell a Grush of a Chalutza LeKohen Hedyot. You're also allowed to sell a divorcee and a Chalutza to a Kohen Hedyot as well. So the idea here is, of course, what's being implied is this ends up being a mechira that cannot lead to yud because they can't marry these individuals. They can't marry a karov. A kohen gadol can't marry an almana. So, but everyone agrees again by a karov. There's a machlokas whether you're allowed to sell to a karov. But everybody agrees to these other non-marriages. It's permitted. So Gemara wants to know now how high almana heichidami. What's the nature of this almana? How did she become a widow? Ilema de kadesh nafsha. If she engaged herself by herself, almana karile, she called it almana. What does it mean she got engaged by herself? We're talking about, Rashi says here, ida kadish nafsha shalai de'avia, nis almana himanu, almana karile, bitmiya, v'chiyesh maisa katana klum. We're talking about katana here. Katana has no kawach, she has no das to marry herself off. So it can't be a case where she married herself off, nothing that doesn't create anything. Ella, the kadish avia, it must be where the father had her engaged. Mi matzi mazmin lei. Wait a second, if she was engaged once before, so how can we talk about selling an almana to a kohen gadol? Once she's been engaged before, she can't be sold. You can't sell her after being married once before. How can an almana ever be sold to a kohen gadol? So Amar Rabbi Avram, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Hacha b'kedusha yud. He's talking about the kedusha initially was through yud. Ve'aliba the Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Damar Mos Harishonos Lav the Kedushin Isnu, where the initial money that was given when he sold his daughter to be an Amivri initially, that money is not available for Kedushin. Okay, so how does this help us out here? Let's read a little bit further. Vi Amris Nisuin Osa, if you say that Yud creates Nisuin, so she's an Amana from that Yud, which apparently was Nisuin, if you were to say that, Kaven Shinisis, once she was married once before, and now she's an Amana, Shuv Ein Lavir Rishisbah, he has no control. So he's not able to sell his daughter, who's an almana, to a kohen gadol. Vela, therefore, must be my erisin osa. Yud can only create erisin. Vishavin, erisin. It can only create erisin. So that's what's going on here. That the almana that we're talking about in this brisa here is where she was a katana. She was given over to her by her father as yud. Yud created only kedushin. She became an almana from that kedushin. So it goes back to the rishus of the father. She can now be sold yet a second time to a kohen gadol. And that's what we're referring to here. Okay, now we're going to get into discussions later on about the most Rishonos being used for Yud or not. Let's see what Rashi says here just for a moment here. Right. So if you look at Rashi, the reason for that line is very important. Look at Rashi Hacha, around 10 lines up. Rashi explains Hacha. Why did we have to assume that we're talking about most Rishonos, Lav L'Kedushin Nitnu, that the initial money that was given is not being used for Kedushin? So Rashi explains, Hacha shenis aramona mikedusha yud, where she's being widowed, she became widowed from the first kedushin of yud. Behind the hader matzi lezvune, now why is he able to resell her anymore? Don't we say, lo karle leshifchos acha ishus? Don't we have a klal that everybody agrees to? That once she's been sold, rather once she's been married before, she can't be sold after that. How are you able to sell her after she's been married before? So he explains, aliba derab yosi ber yehuda, hid amar lekaman, mos harishonos shel meknasa lav lekedushin innu. The initial money that was given by her father gave the father to buy the Amivria is not l'shem kedushin. V'chi mi'ala be'avdus, when the Adon performs yud with this Amivria, she'esh ala mi'ala vein kedusha elu ideav, it's not involving the father at all. V'gzeres ha'kosev hi she'yihu kedushin hilkach hader mati lezumne. The only issue of her being sold after marriage is when the father himself performed the marriage. Once a father gave her over as marriage, he cannot give her over to be sold as well. But if the marriage came about some other way, not through the father, but through the Adon, then the father has the right still to sell her. So again, when I sold my daughter to be an Amivria, So that money that was given to me is not what's used for yid. That's done. That's in the history. Now this other wants to do yid with her. So he performs yid. Nothing to do with me anymore. It's my daughter, but I didn't have any creation in this yid. The other one does yid. And now she's widowed from the Adon. So the law is I'm allowed to sell her as a Amivria, because I'm not the one who created the first Kedushin. The only time we say it's Aser for her to be sold after Ishus is if I initially got her engaged to another man, when I did the Kedushin for her, then I can no longer do Shivcha after that. But if the Kedushin was created by someone else, namely the Adon, where I wasn't involved in, because the Malus that I received initially has nothing to do with the later on Yud, I am allowed to sell her after that point. So that's what the Gemara is explaining here. That's why I'm allowed to sell. That's why a person could sell his daughter, even though she's an almana, she's allowed to be sold as a shifcha because she wasn't, again, the father had nothing to do with the initial yud. Okay, a little confusing, I know. So the Gemara now says, where are we now? Veshavin, I think?
Velamai erisinos.
Velamai erisinos. So what is it? It must be that it only creates erisin. Veshavin shemocha. Everybody agrees that you're allowed to sell the almana to a kohen gadol. But don't we hold that you're not allowed to sell a daughter after she's already been married once before? Ella, so what do you have to say? Shiny Erison Dida Me Erison Davia. There must be a difference, what we were saying before, when she gets engaged on her own without her father, versus when she's engaged through her father. If the father is the one who created the Erison in the first place, then you're right, that's when he's not allowed to sell her after she's already been married before. But if the Erison came about because of herself, and herself and the Adam, nothing to do with the father, then the father does still have rights, if she ever becomes free, he does have rights to sell her at some point down the line. So that's what the Gemara initially says right now, that there is, in fact, it's a din in Erison. So the Gemara says, Afilu tema nisun osa. So once you say that, you could really say that Yid does create nisun. And you could say there's a distinction, shiny nisun dida min nisun davia. You could say there's a difference between when the father marries her off, then he no longer has any control, you're right, anymore. But if she marries herself off through yud, nothing to do with the father, then maybe if she were to get divorced or widowed, she would go back to the shus of the father. So there is no rye from here either, that yud is either nisun or erison. Again, I know, very, very confusing. Let's go a little bit further. Let's at least get to the top of your test. It's a little late, but the Gemara says, Hi, Mai, let's understand this for a moment. Bishma, Erison, Merison, Shiny, I could understand that there's a difference between who's doing the engaging, whether it's the father or not. But Ella, Nisun, Minisun, becomes Nisun, Mishani, is there really a difference? Nisun is not about how it's being performed. Rashi says on the top of Yud Testament Aleph, Mishani came into the Nisun, the Raisin, Inu, Nafka, Lagami, Mishusayu. The Lach is, once she's married, I don't care how she gets married, whether the father is getting her married, or whether Yud and the Adon getting her married, in the end of the day, she's completely free. Nisun gets her in a completely different Rishus, in another man's Rishus, and she can never go back to the father's Rishus anymore. So I don't care how it was performed, so you can make a distinction. The only time you can make a distinction between her own and the father's is within the world of Erison. So therefore, the only way to explain the case of Yud is if Yud is Erison. Okay, maybe should we, let's keep going. Ule Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Yitzchak, Damar, Afilu, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, Maos, Harishon, Tzlakadushin, Itnu. According to him, who holds, when the father initially sold off his daughter, that money that the father receives, when down the line the Adon does Yud, it's Yud using that initial money that was given over. So even though he gave the money in, let's say, year 2000 to buy the daughter, in 2010, he could turn that into Yud. He could turn that money that was given 10 years ago, that money was a kesef kedushin. So the father who received the money for his daughter is involved in the kedushin of his daughter. Yes, it's delayed for 10 years, but those most rishonos, those first coins that he received, is going to be used for yud and kedushin down the line. So father is involved in that. So if the father is involved in the initial kedushin, and the yud, the father is still involved, how could you ever have an almana being sold to a kohen gadol? Again, according to the previous opinion, we only had that possibility because if he wasn't involved in the Kedushin, and we assumed before he wasn't involved in the Yud, he's allowed to sell her after someone else's Kedushin. But if he was involved in the initial Kedushin, then he cannot sell her after. Ein shifchos achar yishus, we say. So how does he understand the case of an almana ever going to Kohen Gadol? He can't sell her after she's already been married once before. So Gemara says, "B'mai mokimla, Mokim luck, Rabbi Eliezer. Damar l'shifchos acher shifchos, hudol mati mazvinle, abal shifchos acher ishos mati mazvinle. Rabbi Eliezer holds, he holds, you have to hold like a one das, the das yachid of Rabbi Eliezer, that we do hold, you can sell after ishos.
Why can't it be, like we said before, that the case of Rabbi Kiva, who says that you can't sell after ishos, is talking about where he did a marriage directly, as opposed to doing a shifchos with a yid. Why is there a hechrech that's going
on? What's the other option you're suggesting?
Didn't we say before that you could hold Rabbi Yehuda